Welcome back to another great edition, the first edition starting this new football season here in 2024 of Talking Tigs. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got a great one for you as we are gearing up. We are 1 week away from LSU football, but college football is already here. Thanks to Florida State and Georgia Tech. It was actually a good game of the ACC. It actually, weirdly enough, took place in Dublin. I don't know the connection with either of those teams. If you do, please feel free to chime in. But great game. Tech pulled it out. Other good games on, well, you know, good games that happened. Probably not anything anybody sat down and watched. But football's back. That's the point here. And we've got a lot to go over with that. LSU's upcoming, not only game, but season, because we got to dive into all of that as well as anything else that we have time for. But before we do, I want to check in with you guys. Of course, it was a great weekend overall. Just had a, I didn't really get to watch any college football, to be honest. Had a daddy daughter date that consumed a lot of it, but I know a lot was going on. They even had something at the College Football Hall of Fame. They had a whole experience. Coca-Cola actually would pay for entrance fees on Saturday if you wanted to go, which was amazing, because I mean, any way you can save a buck nowadays, right? And yeah. Then they actually had a free concert. Big Boy from Outkast gave on a free show, and they had a lot of other stuff going on, as you might imagine. But cool, all in all, a great day. Plus, you know, we had football kicking off at noon because it was over in Dublin. But can't wait to talk about all that with you guys. How the heck are you,
man? Doing good. Good to have you have college football back. I mean, yesterday, College Game Day on TV again. I mean, you got Kirk Herbstreit, Nick Saban now at the desk. Unfortunately, and you still have Pat McAfee, but that's
I was
just
about me. To say, yeah.
Okay. but then, yeah, this Georgia Tech FSU game, I mean, it's crazy to think that week zero, you know, we're kind of used to real, you know, minor games that don't really have consequence to the rest of the season. But that was a conference game for the ACC. With one of the premier teams of the ACC losing. So, I mean, that's I feel like that's big. I think that's big for, not to get completely ahead, but like Clemson has Georgia this week one. That's a game, you know, now with FSU losing, I think that maybe lessens their, you know, must win or must have a good showing against Georgia. So, you know, just really interesting.
No pressure.
Really glad, yeah, really. Really glad to have it back. And, I mean, gosh, we've been waiting for this for like a year now. Or not a year, I guess like 8 months. But, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hello, guys, and hello, Tiger fans. It's the week that everybody has circled on their calendar all year. We've been looking forward to the kickoff of college football. It's the lifeblood of this podcast, I would say. Yep. and something that we all look forward to. So we got that little appetizer over in Dublin, and that was an exciting game, which I was happy to have watched. Watching that, my excitement for the college football season was Dublin. And then we're going right into this week one, LSU getting the primetime showing on Sunday. So hopefully the Tigers can put on the national scene and get the season off to a hot start, which is what we've been lacking over the last few years.
Yeah, we are really good at the marquee games. They get us really excited, but man, do they turn out to be some duds or buzzkills for us. Hopefully that changes this year. I don't know. It's the only game on that Sunday, right? And it's a primetime spot in Vegas. Sold out this week, actually. Probably courtesy of Tiger fans, though. I don't know. It's hard to judge because, you know, LA is only like four hour drive, plus it's a very quick flight. It used to get one for under $100, but should be a lot of USC fans, but who knows. I'm saying it's probably going to be mostly LSU fans, but I think it's going to be a good atmosphere on the strip too. I mean, Vegas is always popping on the holidays, so add that into the mix. I think it's probably the one town we can be sure they're not going to run out of beer, right?
Yeah, I think LSU will be fine there as far as fans go. And I know a lot of people are going to Las Vegas. As far as the game goes, I mean, I like our chances. I think that I think this will if both teams play at their best, like this is probably going to be one of the best, at least schemed offenses we play all year. I mean, Lincoln Riley, there's one thing he can do is he can coach an offense. Everything else is, you know, in question. And I know, Scott, before we went live, you were talking about people who were maybe on the hot seat. I mean, I don't know if you put Lincoln Riley on the hot seat, but he might be on the warm seat.
Yeah.
Because the main thing, you know, he did it at Oklahoma. Well, actually, I guess he had more success at Oklahoma, but, you know, other than Caleb Williams winning a Heisman Trophy at USC, it's kind of, you know, he's had a lot of issues and there've been some growing pains, especially bringing Alex Grinch as his DC from Oklahoma and it not working out, not being able to have field a really even competitive defense. So, they made changes in the offseason. I expect them to be better, but they're going to be starting a new quarterback. I think we're going to be improved as well on the defensive side of the ball. I think this is a really good test for our defense and our secondary specifically, because, you know, they're going to throw it around. That's what Lincoln Riley loves to do. He's an air raid kind of guy from the Mike Leach coaching tree. So it's going to be, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a great game.
Right. Kind of like the meme, like Vegas ain't ready for us. It turns out they were ready for us. Hopefully Vegas is ready for the LSU Tiger fans, because they like to travel. They like to have a good time. And putting a W on the schedule that first week would feel really good, especially against you call them a premier. I don't know about premier, but glamorous program like USC. And
Blue Blood. You
know, right.
Blue Blood, yeah. College football royalty.
Exactly. And it's a matchup of the teams that had the last two Heisman winning quarterbacks between Jaden Daniels at LSU and Caleb Williams before him at USC. Both of those guys are entering their rookie years in the league now. So we got all new faces. We know about Garrett Nussmeier on our side, and hopefully he can step up on a big stage. He played pretty well in the bowl game and then in some fill in duty as well. And USC's got a new quarterback also, Miller Moss, who was a highly rated prospect out of high school. And he actually, kind of similarly to Nussmeier, started the bowl game for USC and played really well there. I think I had 6 touchdowns or something. Obviously, that may not correlate to immediate success against a team like LSU, but I think they like their chances too. LSU's currently favored by 4 points, kind of narrowed a little bit. I think we opened by closer to 7-ish.
It opened at 6.5, I think. Mm-hmm. Or maybe even 7, like you said, but yeah, moved down to 4.5. So, although I don't, do you, Daniel, do you see that as odds makers being like more, cause they recently announced that, I mean, I think everybody kind of knew, but they did recently announce that Miller Moss was the official starter. Do you think that they're moving the line because they're a little bit less confident in LSU, or do you think it's a market movement? Cause that's what I would think. People saw the 6.5 and they said, well, I'll take USC.
Yeah. I think it's mostly just people buying down USC, considering that LSU, we've lost 4 straight opening games. Mississippi State in 2020. That was a weird one. The first COVID game. And then the shellacking by USC. That was an embarrassment. 2021 or UCLA.
This is blue shirts.
Right. And then the last 2 years, Florida State, the first one with the missed extra point to tie it. And then last year was just a handling. So we need a better performance from there. At least the only good thing I can say is that the last few years, our season was basically over after that week one, because at the 4-team playoff, you lose week one, you got a long schedule ahead of you. Like, there's very slim chances, but with the 12-team playoff, you can have a couple misses. It would obviously be much nicer to start out with a win, but it's not a gigantic catastrophe if we do end up losing. But I do think LSU will play well, and excited to see all the new talent that we got rolling out there.
Yep, on both sides of the ball, too, because I think that's the unique thing about LSU and USC is not only are they both breaking in pretty much parallel storylines of their quarterbacks, right? Like some mop-up duty and a really good bowl win, although I'd say Nussmeier came back to win. Miller Moss just kind of had like, you know, one of those amazing bowl games where it just seemed like, well, why wouldn't this guy play in all year? But, you know, who knows how it really goes? Cause I think we've probably had that too, but it's what it'd be what Riley's 3rd year after losing a Heisman quarterback, same with Brian Kelly, 3rd year, he's losing his Heisman winning quarterback starting over. But I think the other common storyline with both teams is defense.
Yes.
Right? Because LSU's, we are looking to turn around what we used to have. USC has had some good defenses too. I mean, they've got a lot of guys in the pros, but nothing kind of like when they had, you know, like mid 2000s, late 2000s.
With, like the Pete Carroll years.
Right, exactly. Like I'd say probably at least the current era. I don't know about USC's past, but like the current era, I'd say it probably started with, you know, Troy Polamalu. There was Junior Seau before that. There's a lot of guys.
Ray Maluga.
Right, exactly. So they've got their history too, but as of late, bad. Like just really bad. So we're both going through that as well. One thing different is though that they're now in the Pac-10, or excuse me, I'm already messing up. They're in the Big Ten.
That's weird.
And yeah, it's just, it's hard. My brain's trying to still wrap my head, you know. But yeah, it's like you want to start this game off right. And as you saw yesterday, Florida State just did not do it. Thought, you know, they were starting a new guy, transfer. He's played some, I don't know, probably some better games than the two quarterbacks we'll see. But it just didn't work out for Florida State. I did not feel for them at all because, you know, we lost, like you said, Tommy, it hit the upright on our extra point. So our block, excuse me. But that was the difference with us. So I was like, oh, man, we should have had it. But then, of course, that next year, the redemption year, we lost even worse.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's like that's why part of me is like enough with these kickoff preseason specials. Let's just start with Chattanooga like we used to and get in line. But I don't know, that's going to be different now because, you know, SEC's different.
I mean, now on the flip side, though, when they're good, they're good. I mean, that if you remember in 2011, that Oregon kickoff game in Dallas, that set the tone right for the whole season.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was a huge, that was our biggest game of the season until the Alabama game that year.
Yeah, and that was nice.
Tyrann Mathieu highlights there.
Tyrann Mathieu, I mean, you're playing against LaMichael James and Darren Thomas, who at the time were, you know, just like in another world as far as offensive talent goes. DeAnthony Thomas on that team, I think, is a true freshman. But anyways.
And we did it without like a real strong, solid quarterback. We had like dual running backs. Like we didn't have like, you know, it wasn't like Edwards-Helaire, Burrow, and then our two wide receivers. Like this team was a little bit different. But again, as that defense was in special team and special teams is what helped get us there. Cause, you know, had the Honey Badger year, of course. That was the super breakout year as far as special teams, I thought. So I don't know. We're trying some different things this go around. We have some guys. We have a guy that transferred in from Mississippi State, right? That's not only preseason SEC, like could be for, you know, special teams or off all around player, I think it was Sarah Thomas. So a lot of other things to look forward to that, you know, we didn't really have last year. So we could see some new things from LSU too.
Right. No, I think you're right. I mean, Daniel, I think I would say that I know you mentioned like if we don't win this game, like it's not the end of the season, which is true. I do feel like this is a must win or an eight. This is as close to a must win game as you can get in this 12 team playoff atmosphere now for LSU. Yeah,
there's not too much wiggle room looking back down the schedule, considering we haven't really gotten there yet, but we still got Alabama, Oklahoma, top 10 Ole Miss, A&M, like it's in the murderer's row as is tradition on the LSU schedule. So having a victory against USC in your pocket does go a long way. And back to your comments, Scott, about the defense. I do think it's going to be an offensive show. I think if we hold USC under probably 30 points, then we've got a pretty good chance there.
Yeah.
The over-under is at 64 right now. So they're predicting about a 34-30 LSU win, so, which makes sense. I think I might even,
I like
expect a little bit higher than that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to do score predictions right now, but I do think it's going to be close. And I would look at something like maybe 38-35 LSU, real close, but a shootout and kind of like whoever gets the ball last is in a good position to win the game.
For me, I think I'm on the same track as you, but I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win and cover and win by a little bit more than that. I think we'll score. And I think that we'll get a few stops. I'm hoping that we'll see good production out of our defense, like an improved production, but I don't think we're going to just show up and be lights out and, you know, shut out USC. Agreed. I think that I could see us, I could see like a 45-38 game, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's not last person with the ball wins, but you know, it's one of those things where they score, we score, that we just keep that margin up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think with the talent level that we have, especially in the secondary, of not quite the elite guys that we've had in the past there, we're going to give up some points, and we just have to hope that Nussmeier is willing to sling the ball and get the ball to our playmakers at wide receiver and running back position, and hope we can match USC there. What do you think, Scott?
There's one thing we know. He's not afraid to sling it.
That's true.
No, he's not. I don't think either would be at this point. So I would say, well, I don't know. You mentioned Tommy 2011, how they started, and we knew that because they were practicing for that Oregon game really early on.
Yeah,
I did see where Brian Kelly said that they're gonna be game planning for USC middle of last week, so a little bit more than the usual week prep. But he took a half a week of his preseason just to focus on USC. So hopefully they'll come out of the gates like we did. Although it's different, you know, it's like LSU was preparing for Oregon's high speed spread offense, and the fact that they were able to contain them and slow them down, it just allowed us to do our run it up the middle, then throw it out wide thing. And you know, of course we had the Honey Badger give us a couple takeaways too. So I don't know. I'd say this time around, I do think LSU had a little bit better of a base for their defense. We brought Blake Baker in. I think we're going to be improving, not just trying to rebuild to, you know, a decent level. Plus, we got Corey Raymond again. We already had some good players in place. Plus, we had some good freshmen coming in that I think we're probably going to see. Like, we know we're going to see Ashton Stamps. We're probably going to see PJ Woodland possibly starting, which is incredible. And, you know, we haven't talked about this, but they did give out the honorary jersey numbers, one of which would be Harold Perkins, who we want / need to see some big things from this season. And it's like that first year we're like, wow, can't wait to see what they do next year. And then it was, you know, where'd he go? Now it's like, all right, well, this is going to be what would be the third year of, you know, what we saw from the first year. If you're progressing as you would think, how do they use him? Hopefully they have figured that out, and he will, I don't want to say break the curse, but essentially break the curse of the seven, since I don't know.
The pressure wasn't on Earl Perkins enough, right?
Right.
He's
exactly.
Having a stellar freshman season, then he comes out and, you know, really has a poor sophomore slump season where he doesn't really make a lot of plays, is, you know, hampered by scheme, hampered by defensive changes and all that. And then, so now, you know, he's got this bounce back where this is a money year for him. This is a career year for him, where he's probably going to the draft. I'm sure he's planning to go to the draft if he has a decent season. Right. If he doesn't go to the draft, that's going to be kind of an issue for him. Like, you know, it's going to be because he can't. And so now, you know, you take on that number seven jersey and you can say, oh, it's just a number or whatever, but we've seen it do people in. But you know what? I think as far as somebody who on our team who is a playmaker, who has the capability to be a playmaker, has that raw talent, it's him. I like that he took it. I think it shows that he's ready to go. And I'm anxious to see him. I mean, who knows? Maybe all he needed was that diaper change. Watch him come out there against USC and just start blowing up the quarterback and making all kinds of plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the Perkins situation, I think he was hampered last year by the fact that we didn't have a lot of like defensive stars that could really disrupt an offense other than him. And so offenses could say like, all right, we're maybe going to scheme around Perkins a little bit. And, yep, and our own coordinators maybe didn't help him out too much in terms of the scheme, but they could go to other places with the ball. They could double team him, stuff like that. And the rest of our athletes like weren't quite to the level where they had to or offenses just had to let Perkins do his thing. Hopefully we can turn that around this year, although I'm not super confident because you look at the roster again and it's a lot of the same faces as last year, plus a few changes, but not too many people that really make you say, wow, unfortunately. So hopefully Perkins can rise above that threat and be the standout player that we really need him to be, disrupting the passer and then stuffing the run as well. But yeah, excited for that. And he definitely deserves it, I think. And then on the other side, Will Campbell has really lived up to the hype and more coming out of high school. And so he's very deserving of the offensive seven as well. So that's cool for them. And then the 18s as well with Greg Penn and Josh Williams. Yeah, 6-year guys, national champion, Josh Williams.
Josh yeah. Williams, a guy who, I mean, they talk about a guy who really deserves it. I mean, the walk-on, everybody talks about it, you know, walked on and then worked his way up to basically being the starting running back. Excited about him. Really, I like him. I like the way he plays and I like the leadership he shows. So excited for him to take on the 18. And then Greg Penn is another guy who's been steady. I remember when he was recruited. You know, he's never had like a breakout year. He's never had like he's not a Devin White or a guy who's just like constantly making plays. I think he's clearly going to be a complement to Harold Perkins at the linebacker position. But I mean, I'm hoping to see a lot of improvement from him. And I think that, Daniel, back to Perkins, man, if we can just put him in space, we never had him in space last year. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they were trying to have him play middle linebacker and I get it. And we've talked about this a lot. Like Matt House said, well, he needs to have a position if he's going to go to the NFL. Like he like playing basically, I don't know what you call it, a rover or, right. You know, some people might call it a star or, I mean, it's like almost like a nickelback, but at the linebacker position, is not really a position for him. And I get that, but I do think that having him play less of a middle linebacker, even having him play like a weak side linebacker where he can do what the Terminator from Alabama did. What was that guy's name? 2 years ago. I mean, Dallas Turner did it last year.
Will Anderson.
Yeah. You know, like that. And I just that's what I'd want to see out of him. And I think it will you know, rest on Greg Penn and some of these other linebackers like a Whit Weeks. If they can do their part to fill gaps, play solid line, you know, linebacker, and free up Harold Perkins to where, like you said, Daniel, they're not double teaming. They really, it doesn't matter if they double team him or not. If they double team him, well, you've got a fundamentally sound defense that's going to take advantage of that. Cause you only have so many people,
right?
Speaking of people, this is my question to that. How much of that, you know, with Perkins and would depend on our defensive line? Because I think, you know, we've lost, you know, Mekhi Wingo. We lost a couple other guys. Don't know if they were, you know, like the D-lines from the, you know, 2000. Like the one thing I'll give Les Miles credit, he always had good D-lines, right? Like some of those guys. Like it was a Sam Montgomery or a Arden Key or somebody like we don't know if we have anything like that, and that's what's going to free up Perkins, right? Just a run stuffer, someone that eats bodies. So that's what we need to see. On the flip side, oh, go ahead, Tom.
Well, and I think that's another place where you need somebody to step up. You're going to need Jacoby and Guillory to come out and have the year that we thought he would coming out of high school. I mean, I remember he was another one. I remember being recruited at the same time as Mason Smith. And I mean, we looked at those two and said, man, this interior defensive line is going to be absolutely stellar. Mason Smith obviously was good. I wouldn't say he was a lights out player, but I think he was good, not great, but really? He went on to the league and that's good for him. But Jacoby and Guillory is somebody who, he's a redshirt senior. This is going to be his last year, unless now you have a COVID year or something like that. But this is his year to try and make money and try to make it to the league. And so we need him to be able to do that. And, you know, take, like you said, Scott, take up the space, eat up linemen, eat up running backs, and make make space for a Weeks or a Greg Penn or a Harold Perkins to make plays.
Mm-hmm. Okay, real quick. Oh, I'm sorry. Real quick, Dan, I just want to do a quick poll. Like, who do you, for defense, who do you see as like, I mean, let's just put Perkins aside. That maybe that's a given, but who's like, who could be a breakout guy on defense this year?
Breakouts.
I want to say one of the cornerbacks maybe, because that's where like we're breaking in guys there too. I think our safeties are, you know, Major Burns, he's coming back. So I'd say our defensive line, there's an opportunity for someone to have like a breakout year, right? Where we're just like, whoa, this guy's amazing. Like a defensive lineman or
might linebacker. Say, I might say, give me Stamps.
Okay.
Stamps year two. I'm high on him, yeah. Just because I know his coach from high school, and you know he talked about how good he was in high school and how he felt like he had the talent to be good at this level. Yeah. Maybe it's more hopeful than you know. I don't have anything that says, oh, like I went to practice and I saw him and he's grown and he's gained 20 pounds and he's this much faster and all that, but I mean, I liked him. I liked him last year. I thought he was decent last year. I thought he made true freshman errors, which is expected, especially when, I mean, he didn't start in the beginning of the season. He kind of got thrown in the middle, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping for him to take a big step, and I think he could be a breakout.
Yeah, one guy I'm going to point to is a new addition to the team, safety Jardine Gilbert, who was a Louisiana guy, but he played at Texas A&M for 2 years before transferring to LSU this fall. So he's a junior, probably be filling in at the kind of free safety position. Athletic guy, want to see him moving around the field a lot, getting downhill, making plays. And I think he has that athleticism to pair up with Major Burns, more of the typical kind of enforcer safety archetype. So I think he's going to give a big boost, veteran leadership to the secondary that does have a lot of young guys. And I want him to make some moves for LSU and show us something against USC's pass attack to start off with. What I was going to mention also in kind of the Jacoby and Guillory analogy of veterans who we need a big year from, I was going to say on the offensive side of the ball, I'm going to point to Kyron Lacy, who's kind of heir apparent as wide receiver one after last year, considering our two stars, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas, are now already having success in the NFL preseason. But Lacy is played a lot. He's filled in over the course of a couple of years now at LSU and had some success, especially late last year, but has had issues as well, both with his route running and his hands. He's kind of notorious for dropping passes. So let's see if he can make the next step and be Garrett Nussmeier's go-to safety blanket. I'm not expecting a Malik Nabers-esque step up from him, but as long as just a solid wide receiver one, and we've got plenty of guys to fill in after that. We definitely have depth at the position, but I wouldn't say that we have a immediate star to point to, and hopefully he can become that for LSU.
Daniel, I think you're right. And I think another one that to look at and say, you know, okay, is this your time, is Chris Hilton. He's mm-hmm. a guy who's shown flashes. And I mean, he's got, as they like to say, verified track speed. He was a track star in high school. I think he, you know, set state records and all of that at Zachary High School. But another one who was recruited heavily out of high school and who we haven't seen a ton from. And you know, you do talk about this wide receiver room has been crowded for years now. So it's understandable that a freshman or a sophomore is not making a, you know, unless they're Jamar Chase, they're not, you know, getting out on the field right away. But right. He's going to have a chance. And I think he has the talent to do it. I think he's got the physical attributes, but I'm hoping that he can be another that, you know, between Lacy and Hilton, and then maybe some help from the transfer, Xavion Thomas, like you said, Scott, or maybe an Aaron Anderson, another transfer, something like that. We'll continue to have the high end wide receiver production that we're kind of used to.
Yep. And I would say, bring it on. I'll put some dark money on Hilton, because kind of like Brian Thomas, it's like he kind of went under the radar, but he did really well. It's just, I think it's the name. It's like Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, DJ Shark, Odell, but you know, those names stand out. But then you have Brian Thomas, Chris Hilton, you know, it's these, but these guys are doing the same thing. I love it. I want to put some, I think Lacy could have a breakout year, right? He was second team preseason all SEC. So they, you know, someone's expecting something of him. I would actually say Caleb Jackson too. I think this year, this guy is going to have a really good year. Plus, he's going to have Josh Williams. We're not going to have Jaden Daniels running anymore, so it's going to be relying on our group of backs. I think Nuss can run, though. I think he's closer to probably Joe Burrow than he is to Jaden, because he can sling it and he can run. If he can do both, oh my goodness, right? Like Joe Burrow at the SEC against Georgia, that like 70-yard downfield as he's getting tackled, something like that. I think that's Nuss's playbook, but not necessarily running for like a 75-yard touchdown like JD5. So I think we'll see some more flashes of our running back. We'll have to use him more too. I still think Nuss can run, but as far as a defensive breakout, yeah, I think it's probably Stamps or somebody else, like probably maybe one of these D-line transfers, but it's there for the taking.
Yeah. Way. And you know what the best part is? We don't have to, at this time next week, we don't have to be wondering about it. We'll be finding out.
Yep. Yes, we will. Now, you said the line has moved a little bit towards LSU. Like, does that change? Like, if you'd already put some money down on LSU, does that affect your payout if the line's moved? Or is it like, no?
No, yeah, you get whatever you lock in when you place the bet.
But so like, sometimes you can.
But could it be more valuable to you if the line moves towards the other direction?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can. Okay. And sometimes they'll buy you out.
Oh, really?
Like, not as much like on like spreads, but on like futures. So like that people who bought Burrow for the Heisman, like that, you know, it's like before the season even started, nobody even thought he was even close to a Heisman. And so it was like, you know, Burrow plus 10,000. So right. It's like $10 gets you like, you know, I don't know how much that would be, a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so by week 10, the casino's calling you and being like, okay, like, or at, you know, on your app saying, look, we'll give you like 70% of your payout if you take it now.
Oh, wow. Because they know that's going to be a big hurting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I would seriously consider that. Wouldn't you? I mean, that's money on the table.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Money on the table. Okay. So I guess if you're like, what are LSU's? Have you guys looked at LSU's championship odds? Because maybe that's where we can set ourselves up from a call from the casino.
I haven't.
Maybe the pod could just buy one so that they have to call us. They can call in on our pod.
They have to call in, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's part of the thing. We'll accept whatever their offer is, but in order to do it, they have to call in.
Call in.
Yeah.
Because it's a text. I don't know who that is. Give me a call. Hi, this is Scott Girard. This is also Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. You're on Talking Tigs. How can we help you?
I just looked it up, and LSU's at plus 2,000 to win the championship. So
beautiful.
20-1. We actually have the eighth best odds out of anybody, so a little bit higher than our ranking. So either Vegas likes us, or they know that LSU fans like to bet on their own team. So they kind of juice you up a little bit.
And we'll be in Vegas to start the season. I see where they're going with this. They know LSU fans are going to buy.
Oh, yeah. You know they will. I mean, but come on, in Vegas?
Yeah, to just make the playoff, LSU is plus 125, so a little bit of an underdog just to make the playoff, but pretty close to even. That's, I think, a more interesting question, though, is can we make a – yeah.
Well, let's go through the schedule, and I think that will, like, you know, depending on that, that's kind of how you get to that point. So, obviously, mm-hmm. we've been talking about it. You start off with USC in Las Vegas. I think we're going to mark that down as a dub. Is that right?
Sure, I would.
Okay. Then next game, Nichols at home. That's a win, right? I mean, it better be.
Yes.
If that's not a win, then we're in trouble.
If that's not a win, then we're looking at tickets to some bowl in Orlando or Tallahassee or something.
Yeah, maybe the Independence Bowl in Shreveport.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, but after that, we travel for – it's not a ranked matchup, at least not now, but South Carolina could be tough.
You know? It's an 11 a.m. kick on the road. Shane Beamer, that's a coach who I like, and I think he's done a good job with his program so far, especially with like the talent that they're capable of pulling in today's, you know, college football.
Yep.
I would be slightly worried about that game, especially with that being almost like a trap game, because you're looking ahead to UCLA coming in for, I think, the first time ever to Tiger Stadium.
Sissy Blue.
So the Sissy Blue is coming back.
Sissy Blue to the Bayou.
Yeah. Are we looking ahead to that? I would think not. I think we'll be prepared, and I think we'd win against South Carolina, but that's one to look at as a trap game. And maybe when you get to that point, maybe if the listeners get to that point, you know, you take South Carolina with the points or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe they cover.
I'm a little bit more worried about that next game, UCLA at home. I couldn't really tell you exactly why, but maybe I'm just having more flashbacks to when they put the whooping on us week one, 3 years ago, kind of an embarrassment. And so
I don't think that'll happen again.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get some revenge there, because that'll be big, as the first big home game of the season. We'll have the video boards going and all that at LSU. And so I think we do beat UCLA. And then after that, we got home against South Alabama, who's not a bad team as far as like group of five teams go. But hopefully we can handle them and avoid a Troy-like situation.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of brings me to a point I wanted to make about why the USC game is so important, because after that, you look at the stretch that we just listed: Nicholls, South Carolina, UCLA, South Alabama, and that's pretty manageable. Yeah. I would say in general, so that's four games in a row that LSU would at least be pretty heavily favored to win. So if you beat USC, then you can take that four game stretch and possibly go into a huge home, probably night game against Ole Miss the week after, currently ranked number 6 in the country, undefeated. And that would just be maybe College Game Day comes to town. That would probably be the biggest game at LSU since the 2020 season in terms of like national championship odds, yeah, and impact. So that's something that I really want to see. And would be a big win.
The Coke's going to be flowing that night for Lane Kiffin.
Oh, for Lane. Yes. I did see that. That's funny. It's like, who drinks Coke? Anybody here drink Coke? Gosh, that one is one I've had circled, and we've talked about it on, you know, podcasts over the past couple of months now, and that's still someone that's a game I've got. I'm scared of. I like that it's at home. I like that. I mean, we typically play Ole Miss pretty well at home, but this is going to be probably one of the best Ole Miss teams that we've played since, gosh, probably since like the Chad Kelly years.
Yeah,
With Hugh Freeze and all them.
Yeah, their expectations are pretty much higher than they've ever been for this year.
They're higher than ours, right? Like,
oh yeah,
people see. Yeah, I mean, they're starting out 6.
This is their time. Like, if they're ever gonna make a play and get to the national championship or get to the end of the dance, this is their year. They've been building for this year for like 3 years now.
I would say 3 decades, but.
Yeah. Well, true. Yes. But it's been an sure. ebb and a flow to this point.
Sure. But if we get that favorable at home night game, I mean, at that point, if we're both undefeated, how could you not pick that as a night game? But anyway, after that, then we would travel to the probably, I don't know, because sometimes it's different stadiums, but it's at Arkansas. And I think this is a hot seat alert, probably the first one of the season, although I don't know. Lincoln Riley, who knows? But I don't know, man. Sam Pittman, they love him. I mean, he started out good, but man, Arkansas down bad.
And yeah, they don't love him so much anymore, and yeah. they need a turnaround season. But I think LSU can handle Arkansas, and then at A&M the next week in Kyle Field, that's another big matchup in front of 110,000 fans, Aggie Yell leaders, and all that. So. Yeah, this is kind of really the meat of the schedule there. Kind of starts that Ole Miss game, and then it doesn't ease up very much.
I'm just not convinced A&M is going to be good this year. I think that with the, you know, Elko, I think Elko could turn into being, I think he could end up being a good coach for them. I think year one, I don't think they're going to have it together. I think that Jimbo did a lot of damage to A&M through the way he recruited, the way he did NIL. And I think that Elko is going to have a lot to clean up. And so I think it's going to be a cleanup year, and I think we'll be fine against A&M.
So you're saying right here, right now, that we're probably not going to hear, yeah, but Elko's winning with Jimbo's players.
I think we probably will hear that because they'll go, you know, 500, and they'll be like, yeah, but he has Jimbo's players.
Yeah. I mean, but they had 4 wins the year before that. So
yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, after that, then it's our usual bye week. And then after that is our usual November game against Alabama. The interesting thing is they're still keeping the bye week there. Because for a while, though, I thought it was, you know, it started out that way. But then if you ask Alabama fans, it's because that's when Nick Saban's birthday was. And they always gave that off. But he's gone now. So we're still holding this game in high regard as, you know, the game. Although, again, I'll still stick by this. I'd say we mix it up. It hasn't been the game for us. I mean, yeah, we did fine 2 years ago. But other than that, I'd say it's mix it up. We're mixing everything else up with the SEC. Why not this one weekend?
I mean, I like that first weekend in November being the Bama game. There's just something about that. Feels like football to me.
Nostalgia.
A little bit cold. Yeah, nostalgia. A little bit cold.
Okay, you know, Daniel.
The jerseys, the way that our jerseys look, like our white and yellow with their red, with their crimson, like it just looks good.
Yeah, I would keep it where it is. I think by that point in the season, you kind of know who's who on both sides of that matchup. Yeah. You know who LSU is, you know who Alabama is, and that kind of ups the stakes a little bit. Sometimes it comes down to one trying to spoil the other season. If usually LSU trying to spoil Alabama if they're running towards the playoff or a national championship. But we've had some pretty huge matchups, obviously game of the century, 1 versus 2, and all the others. So it usually lives up to the hype, and I think I'd keep it there. I do. For some reason, I do it like our chances this year against Alabama, Brian Kelly being 1-1, both very closely contested games. We had a chance to win last year, even though we didn't. So that'd be pretty cool to see him get that winning record and go 2-1 against Alabama team. No more Nick Saban. Who knows what's going to happen with them, but I think they will have a nice year. I don't think they're going to collapse under Kalen DeBoer, but I do think LSU at home could get a slight edge there.
True.
Yeah. I think we might deliver one of their only losses of the year. I like our chances against Alabama. I've liked our chances for the past 2 years as much as I've liked them ever. I thought last year was really our opportunity to clip them. And I mean, like you said, Dana, we were close, but we didn't close it out. Right now, okay, so like if we're being honest, right now we're sitting at this schedule and we're saying, yeah, we're undefeated going to the Alabama game. I don't know if I buy into that. I feel like we do lose. Nah, I feel like Ole Miss game. I feel like we might lose that Ole Miss game. But
I've been kind of omitting my win and loss predictions. I was kind of saving that for the end, like in terms of a schedule. But I don't think it's impossible that we're undefeated there. But I think it's probably like 2 to 5% chance of happening.
Really? Okay.
So yeah, or maybe it's like maybe we're undefeated at that point, but Alabama's not, and we're like, oh, Alabama's already got 2-3 losses and maybe we're not expecting as much, but then that game,
we run into a buzzsaw.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah,
because that's happened before too. But I don't know, I it really depends what everybody else does, because everybody has high expectations this year. Ole Miss, Alabama,
one interesting thing about the Alabama game is that their game 2 weeks before that, before their bye, is against Georgia. So that's the big one that everybody's looking at. So they may be either coming fresh off a huge win or fresh off a crushing defeat. So that could play into that one for LSU.
Good point.
Yeah. And then after that, I'd say it's our second hot seat game. Florida travels to Gainesville to play the Gators and the Fighting Napiers.
I'm a little bit scared of that one, because like you said, at that point, Billy Napier might be fighting for his job. Going into the swamp, that's always an intimidating place to play. I think I'm actually going to try and go to that game this year, because I'm probably 4 hours away from Gainesville, where I live in Florida. So I think I'm planning on taking the road trip up there to catch the Tigers in action. So hopefully I'll be cheering them on. But that's a scary one, and I'm not sure that we come away with a win there. I think that's like one that LSU fans will look ahead to and say like things could go badly here.
I'm on the opposite side. I don't think Florida's gonna be very good this year. I don't think they have. I mean, now I've heard
they don't have to be, though, to beat us.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, like, LSU is notorious for just dropping a game that we shouldn't. And I mean, I think back to that Florida game against in Burrow's first year, where I think he threw a pick or two, and I mean, that was one of the worst games we saw him play. And we ended up losing, and it kind of spoiled our season. But I think that I don't think they're going to be very good. I think this might end up being the last year for Billy Napier, and I think we'll be fine with them. Maybe it'll be a little bit closer than we want it to be, but I think we'll get away with a win there.
Yep. Ooh, but then we always got that pesky Vanderbilt team coming to town.
The class of the SEC.
I don't know, guys. Let's say we get a win there. Let's say we do. I mean, it's a home game. And that's the cool thing is after, we have Vanderbilt at home, luckily. And then after that, our last game is at home. And it's Oklahoma. We're welcoming the Sooners to the Tiger Stadium for the first time, I believe. We'll see. I mean, they're ranked a few spots behind us, but could be interesting to see where they are at and where we are at that point, because like that could be a playoff play-in game,
That's true. Mm-hmm. Especially if like, let's just say you got Oklahoma and you got LSU and both teams are, we'll say two lost teams or something like that going into that last game, that really becomes a playoff game, a play-in game.
Sure.
Exactly.
So that's one that I'm not sure about. I think my gut right now tells me I think we'll be fine. I've not been really impressed with Oklahoma since Lincoln Riley left, but I mean, there's the thing, and I think our listeners probably know this because if you listen to this podcast, you watch a lot of LSU football. There's always a chance for LSU to drop a game, whether
they have a tendency to play up and play down to their opponent.
Exactly. So I like us against Oklahoma. I like that. To be honest, I like that this is the game we're getting as the last game of the season instead of the A&M game. Mm-hmm. And so I think we'll be fine, but I agree, Scott. I do think that I could see it being a consequential game for the playoff.
Right.
Yeah. I think we're all looking forward to this traditional SEC rivalry between LSU and Oklahoma. Two teams have been going at it for zeros of years.
I mean, hey, the last time that matchup came up, it ended up pretty good for us. So
true.
And the time before that. Because that was Nick Saban's first championship game, which he listed as one of his favorites. Yeah, and the other thing I was going to say is lost it. Go ahead.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, but I think it's a fun way to close out the season. So how about this? What do we have for our overall season record predictions? I can start if you'd like me to.
Okay, you go, Daniel.
So I'm going to say LSU finishes 9-3, missing out on that 10-win mark that we've been hoping for. And I'll just kind of do some other random predictions in here. LSU 9-3, we do beat Bama, but we lose one kind of random game. UCLA.
Like Florida.
Florida or USC. So on top of that, maybe losses to like Ole Miss and Oklahoma. So you could say like losses to Ole Miss, Oklahoma, and then UCLA. And then I think that loss in the last week to Oklahoma is what keeps us out of the playoff. So if we would have won that game, we would have made it. But I say we lose and then we are just kind of the barely outside looking in around kind of middle of the top 25. So overall a decent season, but I think making the playoff is priority number one for Brian Kelly. We don't need to win the national championship this year, but that's a very good metric, I would say, for success. And I want it to happen, obviously, as an LSU fan, but I don't know if the talent that we have across the board is quite enough to push us there.
Right. I could agree with that. I think I've been pretty bullish the last few years. So this year I said I was going to go 9-3 no matter what. I want to stick to it. I'm kind of leaning towards, 10-2, but I'm trying to be sensible about this because of what all we've been through the last few years since 2019. But I'm willing to go 9-3. I'd love to. I would put extra money down if I could have like a mid-season flex to a 10-2 just based off of how like that those first six games go. But other than that, I think we're good now because there is a 12-team playoff. So I think it's possible you could get in with three losses, depending on how those losses go. I mean, if there are three overtime losses, two got us in 2007. So why not? Now, it's interesting, though, because there's a lot of different rule changes not just the SEC, but with the NCAA, too. But I don't know if you guys saw like how they're all the tiebreakers they have. Obviously, versus records, opponent's record, conference record, all that's going to tie into it. But there's like all these different levels in case there ends up being a lot of ties in the division. I don't know. Do you guys see any of that? Or I mean, it's common sense stuff. You know, it's overall record. Then it's, like I said, conference head to head. If there is one, common opponents losing, you know, stuff like that. Then I think at the very end, it's just, it's not a coin flip. I think it's just points scored.
Yeah.
Or something. Anyway. But college football is going to have a 2-minute warning now.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I think.
What's your record prediction, Tommy?
Man, I don't know if I've ever predicted LSU to have a bad year on this podcast. And I'm not starting today. I feel like we're gonna. I don't know. I got excited looking at this schedule. I mean, I think 10-2, maybe even 11-1. 11-1's a little ambitious. I'm gonna go with 10-2. I think we lose, but I think we do lose to. If let's say the 10-2, I'm gonna pick that we lose to Bama and we lose to Ole Miss. I think those are the obvious ones. And I think this team is definitely capable of taking care of business. Where they need to. I think that's something that Brian Kelly has really, maybe aside from the Florida State game last year, that he's been able to do. You know, we're joke about, you know, LSU playing down a competition, but I do think that Brian Kelly LSU is a little bit less of that, a little bit less erratic. And I think you kind of get the same performance out of that team most of the time. So I'm going to go with, I'll go with 10-2. If you're going to flex, I might flex too. I might flex to 11-1, in the season, you know, especially, I mean, look, if we go 5-0, beat Ole Miss, the world's our oyster.
He's drinking the Kool-Aid McKinstry. But if those results happen, 10-2 with losses to Ole Miss and Alabama, which is not entirely improbable, do you think that's a playoff worthy resume for LSU?
And I don't know if you saw, did you see Nick Saban's, his playoff prediction?
I saw that he had LSU in there.
He's got LSU as the number 11 seed. And I mean, I think we're probably, I mean, he's got five SEC teams in this playoff, which is pretty crazy, but
Saban knows.
The thing that I was thinking about it, because when I was looking at it, I was like, who else is probably more, as far as like analysts go? I mean, he was literally coaching in this league last year, so I mean, like he knows these teams,
he's still paying attention to it, right? I mean,
yeah,
I think even if he wasn't broadcasting, he'd still be paying attention to stuff, but he's also broadcasting, so. Like, this is his job now, is to just learn this stuff, but not have to yell at people to apply it.
Yeah. Now, he did have Florida State winning the ACC and getting the bye. So
whoops.
You can take it with a grain of salt, but I think we get in with 10-2. I think 9-3 is more of a coin flip, but I think a 10-2 LSU team gets in, because you have to think, like, if we're 10-2, let's say Georgia wins the whole thing. I mean, and then maybe throw in, like, there could be two or three teams in front of us and we still get in. So you could have a Georgia, a Texas, and an Alabama in, and we still get in.
Mm-hmm.
So all right, that's kind of my thought.
Do we want to finish off with kind of a lightning round of like predictions for the year? Like, just kind of, I'll call out the category and we each say what we think. It doesn't have to be long. Just,
yeah,
a word or two.
Sure.
All right, so let's start it off with the big one, national champion. Who's it going to be this year? I'll lead it off. I think Texas Longhorns, baby, hook them.
Really? Dang. First year in the SEC, and you think they run the table?
Quinn Ewers believer.
I got to go horns down on that one.
Yeah, that's a big horns down.
I'll go dogs. I'm going with the dogs.
I'll tell you, and I don't like saying this, but I think it's true. I think this is the time where Scott's friend, recruiting buddy, Ryan Day is going to get his national championship.
Finally.
I think it's been way too long. People have been waiting on it for years. And I think Ohio State's going to have a really good team this year. And I think that, the problem with the playoff or is that the SEC is going to beat on each other so much. You know, Georgia's going to play Texas and Alabama. I'm pretty sure they play Texas. I mean, they're going to play, you know, they're Georgia, who's, I think, easily the consensus number one team in the nation. They're going to have a much harder road than Ohio State is, in my opinion. And so by the time you get to that, you know, let's say Ohio State runs the Big 12 or Big 10 and, you know, wins it and gets that bye week. Anyway, I just kind of feel like they're going to be set up for success. So I'm going to go with the Buckeyes.
Very good. All right, next category, kind of dark horse playoff contender. Who can make a run at one of those at-large bids or even a bye kind of that's not in the top 10 or so, I would say. I'm going to call out Arizona in the Big 12. I think the Big 12 is going to be a little bit down now that their two big dogs have transitioned to the SEC. Arizona has a very good quarterback, Noah Fifita, and I think they could maybe even sneak in and win the Big 12 and make a playoff push.
Well, you're talking about just a dark horse to make the playoffs and like do some damage.
Yeah, like a team that's top five now, but they could be like in the top 10 at the end of the year and they'll make the playoff.
I'll go Missouri.
It's a good one. Any exposition on it or just?
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought it was just quick. No, just
you don't have to.
Yeah, I trust in Drinkwitz. I mean, they did really good last year. I don't know what their situation is this year. I mean, they lost Blake Baker, so. I don't know if they're going to be the same dynamic this year, but I mean, without any other thought in it, just Missouri, sure.
I mean, does Utah count? Are they a dark horse?
They could win the Pac-12 again.
Yeah. Well, wait, could they?
No, they're Utah's in the Pac-12. Utah, they moved to the Big 12 with Arizona and a couple other teams.
I like Utah as far as, I mean, I don't know if they're, I mean, they made the playoff last year. Like, I don't know if they're, didn't they? I
think
they
did. No.
No. Oh, but they almost did. Yeah. I think I'm going to go with Utah. I think they're going to have a good season. They're number 12 right now. I could see them winning their conference and, you know, being one of the top teams.
Nice. All right. What about this one? Heisman Trophy winner. It's a tough one. A lot of quarterbacks out there. I think I'm going with Deion, and I'm saying Shedeur Sanders is going to have a big season and win the Heisman.
Wow.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I don't even know enough to say at this point. God, who is there? I don't know. It's probably going to be somebody like Milroe or Beck or something that just puts up great numbers, you know, enough against certain teams to like grab notice, but then I don't know. Yeah, I'll say Milroe or Beck. I don't know.
I'm going to go with Milroe. I like him. I think he's a great player. I think he's going to let all the naysayers know. And I think he's going to have that, get that bronze statue.
Sure.
Very nice. All right. Bold prediction, LSU. Maybe we've already set our bold predictions. You may not have anything here. Here's a really weird one that came to me while we were talking. Somebody other than Garrett Nussmeier will start a game for LSU as a quarterback this year.
Ooh.
Either due to injury or just something happening. Maybe Nussmeier doesn't come out firing as hot as we thought. We'll see.
Or that could be a good thing too. Like it could be we're like playing so well that like we don't start him against, I don't know.
Or another scenario that I thought of, it could be like Jaden Daniels opting out of the bowl game. Like Garrett Nussmeier, if he has a really good season, he opts out of the bowl game and Ricky Collins or Colin Hurley gets a start there. Who knows? But that's one I'll say.
Okay.
Or we start him against Vanderbilt to get ready for that Oklahoma game. But yeah, it's possible, but I don't know if it's, I don't think, because usually we would have heard by now, right? If it was like, man, we thought it was going to be Nuss, but Ricky Collins is kind of like right there with him. It's close and it shouldn't be. I don't think it's that type of situation, right? It's just something's wrong with Nuss. Maybe he partied too hard one night.
Any from y'all?
I mean, I think my 10-2, maybe flex to 11-1 prediction is pretty bold, but I'll give you another one. And this is like kind of a sad one, but I think it's true, or I think it could be true. John Emery Jr. does not have a single touchdown the entire year.
I could see it.
No, he will get one. I'll take a bet on that. I don't know what we would bet, $20 or something, but the, you know, I'll take that. I got to be some garbage time against South Alabama or something, right?
No, that's true. That's, like the garbage time.
There's got to be. It's like just give it to Emory. Come on, put Rudy. So I don't know. As far as like some bold prediction, I don't know. I would say, is this specific to LSU? Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I would say, man, I don't know. I'd say, yeah, one of these other breakout guys was like, oh my God, we should have, I mean, we wouldn't have, but maybe we should have given this guy the 7 to start the year. Something like that.
Like PJ Woodland just comes out and he's like Derek Stingley.
And oh no, he's like Honey Badger. Oh, and wow. Like at the end of the year, he's like, maybe he's returning punts. I don't know.
Yeah,
probably not. No, but yeah, he's a ball hawk. I just see him. Maybe he's a huge ball hawk, and it's like, wow, this guy is showing up. Something like that.
All right, last one. Bold prediction. For all of college football, I'll say one. I think there's a playoff game where a team wins by at least 30 points. There's a stomping in the playoff.
I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, with 12 now. I'd see it could be a complete surprise too. Cause wasn't it that one of those first few years, like Michigan State and Alabama played, it was like 35-0. That should not be a semifinal to a championship game.
We saw TCU get flattened in the national championship.
Exactly. So something like that. Yeah, that's totally possible. Absolutely.
Maybe I'll up it. A team wins by 40 points in the playoff.
Yes. Well, all right. Yeah, I don't. No, not that. I think they'd pull back at that point.
We didn't.
Yeah, we only had one game after that, and it was a lot closer, mind you.
It's true.
Anyway.
Any predictions from y'all? Weird stuff you think might happen? Nick Saban does a dance on College Game Day.
Kind of see that happening. My prediction, I'm gonna keep it on the field. I think Texas is gonna fall off. I think they're gonna struggle in their first year in the SEC. I think it's gonna be a lot different than what they're used to, and I think they're gonna have trouble. And I think if they make the playoff, they'll make as an at large bid.
I just picked them as my champion, so we'll see.
Oh, there you go. I don't know. I predict a lot of. Just what do you call it? Upheaval maybe in the Big Ten, just with USC and UCLA, not just adding them to it, but it's always interesting when you add like those cross country trips and these travel tips. And now all these teams have to do that. Usually they just do it for like the bowl game, usually because they send a Big Ten rep for the Rose Bowl, but now all of them. Or not all of them, but half, or we're going to have to be going to USC and or UCLA. Like, imagine if that was in the same season. I don't know that they would schedule it that way, but there might be one year where you just can't avoid it. But that's what I'm going to think, because it's just so weird to have them in that conference. Yeah. But also, I think just the cross-country trips and what kind of toll that could take to teams not used to it. I don't know. I'd say there could be some weird parody in the Big Ten this year.
I believe it. Very cool. Well, I think that's all my categories I had. So what about week one coming up here? Games to watch. What are we tuning into?
Gosh, it's a packed week.
I know. Let's see. I am trying to pull up the schedule now.
It starts on Thursday, and there's plenty of games on Thursday. The biggest one is probably North Dakota State at Colorado. They got on ESPN. They're showing off the Fighting Deons in primetime. Although North Dakota State could be dangerous as an FCS team, so that's interesting. Friday, a few games, nothing too premier. Got TCU going to Stanford in a kind of a weird non-conference matchup, kicking off at 10:30 p.m. Eastern. I have to stay up late for that one. And then Saturday's got the big one, or big ones, plural, Clemson at Georgia to start the season. That'll be fun.
Yep. I think it's interesting, but Florida and Miami are playing that first, they're playing at 3:30. It's not a, I don't think it's a national implication, but it's you know, it's a big rivalry game with them. Miami's ranked, Florida is not, but who knows? Maybe that could help Billy Napier start his season off to cool that seat off. What after that, I would say Notre Dame and A&M.
That's where College Game Day is going.
Interesting. Like, just imagine those Notre Dame fans going to Kyle Field and like, oh my God, is this what the SEC is like? You know, I like, no, that is just College Station. That is A&M. Please don't. We're sorry. That's not us. Something like that. Other than that, I don't know. I think the next best game after that is us.
Yeah.
Us and USC. And then there's nothing after that, right? Or is there something on? No, there is something after that.
Florida State plays again.
Yeah. Boston College. But yeah, that's crazy. Anywho. Yeah,
should be a fun week. Looking forward to it.
Gosh, just so many good games. I can't believe it's already here.
I don't know, guys. Well, I think that was about it, right?
Agreed. That was an action-packed pod. I think the most energy we've had in a long time. And I guess a listener note, I assume we'll be going back to the weekly cadence in lieu of the summer 2 weeks. Yeah, so we'll be back. So we'll probably have to postpone till Monday so we can talk about LSU game, obviously, versus USC. But yeah, looking forward to breaking that down next time.
Absolutely. One last thing I just wanted to mention because I thought it was so amazing, hilarious, whatever you want to call it. But it was a follow-up because I'd known it at the time when we recorded last time. It was at the end of the Olympics, but I didn't get a chance to squeeze it in there. But there was the, I don't know if you guys saw this, but, you know, if you win a gold medal or any medal, I guess, with your country, there could be some perks. With the U.S., there obviously is. You get paid. But there is this one dude from the Philippines, a swimmer. It's won their first, I think, gold medal ever for that. And the perks this guy's getting is amazing. I'm like, maybe the NIL guys should look at this. It's like he got a cash reward. I think he got a house or like a loan on a house or something. But the there were certain restaurants you could go to and eat at for, you know, forever, basically. Yeah. But the interesting thing to me, and it was so oddly specific. He was like, he could go to these gastrointestinalist doctors free for the rest of his life. And I'm thinking, dude, that's the real hustle right there. Cause when he's later on in life, that's going to be important. It doesn't mean anything to him and his age now, but he doesn't know yet, but that's a big deal. That's what we need to attract these guys to LSU. It's like, you're going to want a gut doctor, and we got you for that.
Best we can do is a Gordon billboard.
Yeah,
you're right. A billboard. We can get you into a cardiologist. But anyway, I just thought that was interesting because there's really no limit. It's just ridiculous at this point. So why not anything? Yeah, talk to Gordon. Get somebody a free supply of Tony's for life, crabs for life, something like that. Someone's gonna buy it.
Yeah,
guaranteed. Anyway, I think that'll do it for us. Unless you guys had any. Unless that spurred any last minute. No. Okay. That'll do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Thanks for listening. We're going to have more for you next week. Big first week of college football to break down, as well as some other things. Also, I did see that Dylan Cruz was supposedly getting called up to the majors. Congrats to him. Well earned. And I hope to see him hitting dingers in the pros soon. But until next time, next week, that is, stay safe, stay tuned. Enjoy Labor Day and all of this college football, and we will talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.